The UK, in the words of the First Minister, has become one of the most unequal societies in the developed world. But is independence the answer? Could a yes vote in September's referendum and the fiscal powers that would flow to Scotland be the catalyst to redress the balance and reduce inequality? Well, Stirling University's Dr. David Comerford has been exploring this issue. His report is published this morning. He's with us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
We're constantly being told, of course, that the UK is one of the most unequal societies in the developed world. Give us an idea of just how true or otherwise that is.
That is true.
How do we measure that?
There is a standard measure, which we call the Gini coefficient, and thinking about the extremes of that, if one person in the whole of society owns all of the income, then your Gini coefficient will be 100%. If everybody has the same income, then your Gini coefficient will be 0%. So roughly, the UK is about 34%. Scotland is about 31 or 30, and so is the rest of the UK, apart from London.
So, well, indeed, and I presume London skews those UK figures because it seems to be booming all the time.
London does skew the UK figures because there are very high incomes in London, but the Scotland and the rest of the UK, excluding London, are about at the level of sort of 30, 31, and that is still relatively high in European terms.
So why would that be the case in Scotland? Is it a case of perhaps in Edinburgh and Glasgow skewing the figures north of the border?
I think it's just that there are the spread of wages is relatively high. So people who earn a good salary earn quite a bit more than people who are earning a not so good salary. And other countries don't quite have the same level of spread.
So the Scottish Government has made it pretty clear that tackling this inequality is a priority. Obviously, they believe with independence they'll be able to do much more. What levers are needed to tackle this inequality and to try to even things out?
Well, our research didn't answer that question directly. What we did was look at the subset of levers that you would call fiscal policy, so that is taxes and benefits. And what we found was that although these policy levers do have an impact on inequality, they don't. The impact is not going to be such that you're going to be able to use these policies alone and achieve the levels of equality that you see in Scandinavia.
So it's not just a case of taxing the well-off more and filtering more money to those at the lower end of the income scale?
No, I mean, what you observe if you look at the so-called Nordic countries is that they have this more equal distribution of wages. They don't especially have a much more redistributive tax and benefit system. I think it's slightly more redistributive than the UK, but it's not much more redistributive. So the reason that we see the low levels of inequality in the Nordic countries is that they have a more equal distribution of wages.
And how does that actually work? Is that controlled in some way centrally, or is it down to individual employers?
We haven't examined exactly what causes that. There's likely to be a lot of sort of historical dependence in it, but you are where you are. So the fact that they are there means that it's a social norm there. It's consistent with people's expectations there. And it's to change those sorts of things, it's just going to take a long time.
Well, if we look at the levers that might come with independence, let's say, putting money onto an extra penny onto income tax, for instance. How do you measure the proportionate effect that that would have?
Well, what we did was look at the equality or inequality levels of the Scottish population after tax and benefits with the current policies in place. And we were able to match official measures of that relatively well. So we had a reasonable amount of confidence that we had a good model for this, and then we can, within our model, we can change what the policies are for taxes and benefits, and we can look at then what the income distribution after taxes and benefits is within the Scottish population. And what we see is that yes, putting a penny on income tax reduces inequality, but the amount that it reduces inequality by is a very, very small percentage of the difference between Scotland and, say, Norway or Denmark or Sweden.
So is it fair to say that income tax alone is a relatively blunt tool?
Some forms of income tax. For example, under the Kalman Commission proposals for enhanced devolution, what's the powers that Scotland will get is the ability to raise income tax at all bands by a penny, by up to £10.
10 pence, yes.
So if you were to raise a penny on this Scottish rate of income tax, then that is a blunt tool in that you're putting taxes up on the basic rate, and you're also putting taxes up on the upper rate and on the additional rate.
And by what percentage would that reduce inequality, do you know?
That would reduce inequality by less than 5%. That would reduce this inequality gap between Scotland and the Nordic countries by less than 5% of the gap that there is. So it's it doesn't change Scotland qualitatively. It doesn't produce a Scandinavian-style economy, just making simple, small changes to the tax and benefits
system. Just very briefly, because time's against us, but obviously those who support the Yes campaign would say an independent Scotland would have access to other fiscal powers as well. So would it be able to influence inequality more?
I think it's not the fiscal powers that it's able to access, and this wasn't the focus of the research. We just looked at these fiscal policies. If Scotland wants to become a Scandinavian-style economy, it probably has to do more labour market interventions, things like the living wage and labour market-style policies, not so much tax and benefit fiscal policies.
OK, we'll leave things there. Thank you very much for joining us. Dr. David Comerford there from Stirling University.